Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by your participating local Nissan dealers.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, we have Margaret Gray, the nationally syndicated columnist. Always a fascinating interview. She's going to be talking about people who have to be taught how to give recognition to those who deserve it. Margaret deserves recognition, but she wasn't getting it, so she fabricated a little fib that she got raped. Well, kind of like that girl in Wisconsin, you know. She wasn't getting any recognition. Nobody was giving her any love, so she said, I got tied up and I got dumped in a swamp. Vernon Dozier will also join us. You know, guys, I don't know if you're like me. You probably are. You don't really like your wife having too many outside relationships with other men. You know what I mean? Like friendships. Oh, he's just a friend. Well, you know, we don't trust those, but Vernon does. He doesn't care who his wife sees because he takes care of her. He gives her what she needs. Diamonds, cars, clothes, maybe not sex, but then women don't need that. They don't need that, do they? All right, so that's on the thing. That's on the agenda. That's on the grill. That's on the menu. That's on the, I'm trying to find the right metaphor here. It's been a long weekend. It started on, I think, Friday night, and man, it ain't over yet. But I got to go to work anyway. It's the Phil Hendry Show here. And just a couple of notes to our Canadian listeners. Number one, a guy just got 18 months in jail for threatening the life of former First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton. And as well as, I believe he also issued a threat against the President of the United States. Now, the ex-president being Bill Clinton. The reason why I say Canadian note is we had a Canadian listener call here one night and threaten President Bush's life, and he thought it was just one big joke. Maybe up in Canada you can pull that stuff, not down here. So as I said, that's what you're looking at, friend. At least 18 months inside, if they don't take pity on you, and I'm sure they will. Last I checked, the FBI's on it. So there's some teenager up in British Columbia right now with maybe an extra set of diapers that he needs. And other news, Alanis Morissette was at the Juno Awards. This is an award ceremony for the Canadian music industry. And she came out in a full bodysuit. Now, listen to the... Remember when she did that stupid song, Isn't It Ironic? And it was like English, sophomore English 101. And everybody was... All the chicks are just... Oh, God, it's just so jewel. It's just so fangtooth. Well, anyway, Alanis, because she's never really been all that original, she walks out at the Juno Awards wearing a full bodysuit with fake nipples and fake pubic hair.
FCC.
Can I say fake pubic hair?
No.
And what was the point she's trying to make? She was slamming American television censorship rules. She went on to say that the Americans, aren't they just so funny down there? They're not liberal and open-minded like us Canucks because they're all afraid of breasts. We're not, are we? That's why she had to come out wearing a fake nipple. Look, baby, don't you even see? I mean, in other words, the Canadians are cool with the human body. And she went on to say, we love the human body here in Canada. So why didn't she come out nude? Why? She didn't want people to die from fright. That's why. If you've ever seen her naked, and believe me, I have, I'm kidding. It ain't too good. Alanis Morissette comes out wearing a bodysuit with fake nipples and a fake, pubic thing because they're not afraid of the naked body in Canada. That's why she's wearing a suit and she doesn't come out nude. Huh? Then she goes on to say, yeah, and Americans, they're also really uptight with language down there. You can't even say, you know, four-letter words like you can in Canada. Last I checked, you can't. As a matter of fact, I've never been cited by the FCC, ladies and gentlemen, but I got something, I got like a warning from the Canadian Board of Imbeciles. I said something like, it was WAP. Remember that? I got a warning. Yeah, that's how free and easy they are up there. You know what your problem is, baby? You're just jealous of all the exposure that Jackson got. You wish to God you had that kind of exposure. And if you want that kind of exposure, you're going to have to take off a little bit more than that bodysuit's allowing you to take off with the fake nipples. Nobody has even thought about Alanis Morissette for a whole year. No one has even... I don't even know what the hell it is she does for a living anymore. She got so upset with all the big ink that Janet Jackson was getting, so she decided that she'd come out... See, they got a problem in Canada. They got a problem with the states. Everything we do down here, they scrutinize. we do this wrong, we do that wrong. We don't like this about us. They don't like that about us. You can't do this on our TV. Our TV. Do you understand? It's our TV. It ain't their TV. She's bumming on our TV down here, right? Fact is, Canada, you can't do anything on television or radio up there either. And on top of everything else, if they spend any time thinking about their own country, they'd probably vomit. What is it with you people up there? You don't think you do anything wrong? I mean, I was having a talk with a friend of mine on Saturday night. We were sitting around a bottle of Tesoro Port, I think it was the Paradiso. Yes, it was. I know, because I was out the $110. He just helped me drink the booze. Nice going, Roy. Anyway, and we were talking about this concept, the international concept, that it's America that does all the bad stuff, and everybody else is like an infant, just sort of rolling around in their own stuff, just, and they're innocent, and they didn't do nothing wrong. And it's the Yanks that are a bunch of bad guys. I'm telling you, man, one of these days people are going to grow up, and when they do, it's going to be a whole new world, a whole new way of looking at things, honey. This chick comes out on this award show and talks about how the Yanks don't do this. I thought this was the Canadian award show. Why don't you talk about some stuff going on up there? Is everything about us, is things so, life so dull in Canada that you got to talk about everything down here? The answer to the question, yeah, I see a bunch of Canadians are nodding right now. Yeah, you're right, pretty much. Yep, ain't nothing going on up here, man. You know, with only 30 million people or whatever the hell you got up there, you'd think you could say anything you want on the radio. Who's going to hear it? Every station got about 5 listeners. You could say the F, the S, the C, the MF, the guys just did kind of, half the cats that are listening are up there trapping beaver in the north. Hold on for a minute.
FCC.
I said trapping beaver as in.
Well, you still can't do it.
It's got nothing to do. It's the animal. They're up there, they're skinning muskrat or whatever they do, and, you know, if a guy could say every dirty word in the book and a guy just look at the radio and go, oh, is that cigarette brand? MF cigarettes, right. Meanwhile, Kurt Cobain's 10th anniversary of him blowing his face clean off is coming up. And, you know, this death fixation we have with rock stars. Elvis, everybody knows when he croaked, and now everybody's going to know when Kurt croaked. I don't even remember when Jimi Hendrix bought the farm. I don't remember when Janis Joplin did. I don't remember when Keith Moon did. I remember where I was, but what time it was? Forget it. Who's the other one that croaked? Big name. Morrison. Everybody remembers when Kurt did it. God, we must be bored. By the way, I recommend a comic. It's called The Preacher series. And in it, there is a character named Arseface. And he is a marvelous character. He was a teenager who loved Nirvana. And he and his friend had a suicide pact that when Kurt... after Kurt killed himself, they would kill themselves because they loved Nirvana that much. Well, his friend succeeds in blowing his head off, but the kid who would later be known as Arseface kind of misfired, and it just kind of blew a hole in his face. So now his face is all puckered in, and and they call him Arseface. And he's like a superhero, rides around on a motorcycle, and the preacher and Cassidy the vampire have taken him in. And this is what happens to Nirvana fans if you're not careful. That could have happened to Kurt. Imagine that. One of these days, one of these rock stars are going to misfire that shotgun, and they're going to be known as Arseface. And now here he is, John Arseface Mayall in the Blues Breakers. So, April 94 is when Kurt pulled the trigger, and you got me, man, as to when the rest of those guys died. I guess that's the difference in generations. This generation of rock and roll fan is keeping fast tabs on when people croak, when they're born, what their favorite color is, what they like to eat for dinner, what kind of jeans they wear, what kind of guitar they play. And I couldn't tell you whether Hendrix died on a Monday, a Tuesday, in September, in February. What did you say it was, Chris? You looked it up. It was 70?
September 18th, I believe.
September 18th. So I was in school. 1970, was it? I would have been a freshman in college. Can't remember any of it. I remember he died. I do remember that. But then I heard some kid one day talking, saying that he just spoke to Jimi Hendrix. I said, really? He says, yeah, he came into my room and talked to me. I said, that's good acid. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray on how to get recognition when you deserve it and people want to give it to you. Just make up a little white lie like, oh, you got attacked in a parking garage. Also, Vernon Dozier on how he trusts his wife to have friends with any men because he gives her what she wants, cars and jewelry. Sex? Well, that's something else entirely. It's coming up, 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hey, went to the Avenger game on Saturday night with the little lady. And I'm going to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, that's the only thing I want to do in the spring is go watch arena football. You can have basketball. You can have hockey. That's fine. I know it's just so great. Isn't the Final Four on tonight? Would I know? Would I care? Honest to God, you'd think that the Final Four, you might as well, it's the rapture, man. Jesus is coming back. Who won? It's tonight.
No, UConn.
What do you mean UConn?
University of Connecticut won, didn't they?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea who won.
I think they.
How do you know?
Because
you read the newspaper.
I'm a bright gal.
Yeah, because you're smart. Because you read. I don't. When you said UConn, the first thing I thought of was Sergeant Preston of the UConn. I thought of him with that dog and that dog sled. I couldn't care less about college basketball. The sooner that they start letting those guys into the pros, the better. Because then pro ball starts to look even better than it does. I mean, on the floor, off the floor, it's pretty disgusting. But on the floor, you know. And when I mean on the floor, I mean like playing on the floor, not anything that they're dripping on the floor. Get the high school guys in there in the college ball, whether it's football or basketball. The idea that they're still play acting, that college is important, the 4 years of college is important to the NBA and the NFL. Of course, the NBA sort of... You know, they began to see the light a little bit about 20 some odd years ago when they started letting in the hardship cases. But the National Football League and this stuff about how we want guys to finish 4 years of college, who are you cats kidding, man? If the guy's good, he's a high school senior and he's coming out, draft him into the NFL, okay? Because he's wasted everybody's time in college. You guys take, you guys are the repository for every dumbbell that ever walked the streets of America, so get more of them off the street. Draft them into the NFL today. A public service of the National Football League. Anyway, we went to the arena game. I had a blast. I mean, the Avengers, first of all, they won. I think they beat, what, the Austin whoopee cushions, or I don't know what they're called, 185 million to 643,000. You know, they score every 5 seconds in that game. Which, who cares? It's great. And then when they throw the ball in the stands, you can keep it. I almost caught a couple myself. Two of them went right over my head, and which is much like my life. Stuff just flying right over my head, even the footballs and arena games. And we had a blast. They gave away a couple of towels or some stuff. I forget the way. Oh, and the Avenger wigs, which are purple and white. You slap those on. I gave them to Mark. I gave them to Mark and Emily because they're arena football kind of people. Yeah, there you go, man. And the other thing is, you know, and plus, you can have yourself a couple of drinks. The thing is fantastic. Now, here's the thing. We go to the Staples Center for an arena game, and they got 13, 14,000 people out there for the game. So it's not like they're begging for fans. Only one suggestion for the Staples Center. May I be so bold as to just make this suggestion? Try opening the doors a little sooner than 45 minutes before kickoff. That's absurd. I know you must have your reasons. I can't think of one good one why you wouldn't open the bloody doors to the arena at least an hour, maybe even an hour and a half before the game starts. I had to stand out there with all the unwashed. You know, I'm standing out there with guys that's, hey, man, what are you doing, you know? Yeah? Right. I'll see you over there, okay? Yeah, good, good, man. You got the chance doing well, everything? That's great. Yeah, all right. Raider jerseys. I go, do you guys even know what this game is about, arena football? Hey, man, it's football. It's even tougher to understand than regular football. You sure? You're a Raider fan, right?
Yeah?
Boy, you're really going to be lost. Open a, you know, just a little bit sooner, man. You're standing out in the freaking street, man. It gives you enough time to go in, grab a beer, and sit down. But here's one of the things why I enjoy it more than anything else is the fans are into it. They're always giving crap away. It's no big thing, okay? There's no big star trip going on. The bench is like two rows in front of me. I got great seats. The bench, the Avenger bench, is two rows in front of me. And you get to see the guys coming off the field throwing up and yelling at each other. It's great. Guys giving each other crap, all the ins and the outs, all the things that happen there behind the scenes. All the crack sales, I'm kidding. So anyway, we got our tickets for the season, and whatever, man. Because I'm a football fan, it doesn't make any difference to me when they're playing or whether it's indoor or outdoor. That's all I want to watch. There was a time, yes, when I was a big basketball fan. Those days are long gone. Long gone. Dead and buried. Dead and buried with my overall disgust with the cult of personality that rules sports today. Yeah, I know. Arena football will get so big one day, the same stuff will be going on. But until then, I'll hold on to those season tickets. And when it gets to be really disgusting, I'll sell them to some sucker. There was a time when I used to follow March Madness. I used to watch it, I used to follow. I don't care anymore. I don't care about your silly, stupid college game, man. First of all, it's college, which means it's minor league. It's AAA at best. Whatever. Hey, man, Indiana, the sixth straight, yippee! Bobby Knight wouldn't last 5 seconds in the NBA as a head coach. There. Is that argument over, finally? There you go. Why do you think Bobby Knight sits there down at Texas Tech and Indiana and all these other backwater schools? That guy wouldn't be getting water in the NBA. Yeah, sure, I know he makes all kinds of money, coaching in college ball, and he doesn't need it. You know what? College coaches, when they move on to the pros, it takes a certain kind of guy with a certain kind of moxie and smarts, and a cat like Knight ain't got it. Who else you want to mention? That Mike Krzyzewski cat? Who's the guy all these guys better be washouts in pro ball. Stay in college ball. It's good for you, okay? Those guys wear the t-shirts under their jerseys, and there's no real uniform rules, and they run around like a bunch of kids, and they get all excited when somebody makes a bucket at the end of the first quarter, even though there's like three more quarters and 8 billion points to go. And they jump up and down when a guy hits a free throw, like the cats just won a refrigerator on The Price is Right. That's the other thing about college football and basketball. It's just like, yeah, I tackled a guy! Okay, there's like 2 seconds gone in the whole game, man. We got like a whole game to go. Yeah, I don't care! And a cat catches a pass for an 8-yard gain out of bounds on the 18-yard line. All right! Stands are up, the fans are up, everything. And people will tell you, well, I like college game because it's innocent, it's amateur. You can take those pros. They're all very, they're so full of themselves, and it's all about money. Oh, it ain't all about money at the college level, huh? You listen to those guys interviewed after the game, you'd think that they were Babe freaking Ruth, half of these guys.
Yeah, well, I like the zone pattern we were in, okay, but we collapsed on it, and we used a man coverage on that last. Okay.
When you guys start playing for money, let me know. Oh, you mean you already are? Where do you play, Nebraska or SMU? Or who is it now? So then, just give me the pros. I know where I stand with those guys. They're all corrupt degenerates, and they play a hell of a game. That's exactly what I want. So UConn won, huh? Whoopee-doo. Who won last year? Northwest Territory? Who won a year before, and the year before, and the year before? I don't think there's been a repeat champion in the NC2A since 1861. I think that year, didn't Gettysburg win it two in a row? Who'd they play? Georgia Tech? Look at Georgia Tech. They got a basketball team? They barely had a football team. Well, shut my mouth and fan my brow. Well, good for you, UConn. Now I guess you guys can go back home, because God knows you don't go to class, do you? All right, 1-800. Congratulations to the University of Connecticut. What are they called?
Huskies.
As in the dog?
Yes.
The Huskies? What, do they name it after their women? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Wait a minute. What is this, bud?
Well, I got inspired by the thing you just said, so I wrote it up for you to say.
Celebrating 10 years of Kurt Cobain being dead. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, it's kind of an anniversary.
You don't go celebrating 10 years of Kurt Cobain being dead.
Jeez, I wish you'd make yourself... You're a tard.
Oh, yeah, that's right, man. I'm the tard. That's right. I'm retarded. I just said it was the 10th anniversary. It doesn't mean we're baking a freaking cake and sticking candles in it.
You said it's the anniversary of him on account of he blowed the face off.
Yes, I said it was the 10th anniversary. We were celebrating 10 years of Kurt Cobain being dead. This is the Phil Henry Show. You might as well say, and now, ladies and gentlemen, much more music with the real Don Steele.
Who's he?
Forget it. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Dr. Jim Sadler joined us on our show on Friday. He was very much against California getting any kind of a subsidy to help people pay for gasoline because California's been pulling the pants down on the rest of America for years. People that moved here got their pants yanked down, and he has no sympathy for Californians.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
This doctor you have on the line, I don't buy anything you're saying. It sounds like you have personal issues. Okay, I lived in California.
My wife was 22 years of age.
I understand your wife was 22 years old and you're 50 whatever, okay?
Yes, sir.
And I moved out of California. It wasn't because anybody pulled my pants down or anybody made me feel not part of the in-click. I think you have personal issues in California.
I think that's what it's about.
I drive trucks over the road, okay? I can't afford to drive in California because of the prices of fuel out there, okay? So, I mean, I understand you have issues against California, and a lot of people might, okay? Me, personally, I don't have issues with California or with any other state that I've driven in out here.
Will you run out of California? Two. Will you run out of here?
No. I wasn't run out.
They didn't run you out?
Who allowed anybody to be run out of anywhere?
I'll tell you.
Okay, I made a real good living in California.
Right.
I was real happy. My wife's family is all out in Tennessee where we live at now. That's why I moved.
See, the difference...
She wanted to be closer to her family.
The difference between California and a lot of states is they run you out of California, but like in a place like Arizona or somewhere else, you may want to get out of there, but not everybody wants you to stay.
I've been to Arizona, okay? My job takes me there quite often, Prescott Valley. There isn't nothing that makes me feel comfortable there.
Are you kidding me? It's way better than California.
In your opinion, it's way better than California.
In my opinion,
Tennessee is way better than any state. But that's because I love the beauty and I love the comfort.
Well, I had a friend of mine, my friend Brant, when he went out to California, he tried to buy a home, and the prices were pretty steep, and they said to him, well, you can't afford to live here. Get out of here. See, you know, America's tired of standing there with egg dripping down its face and its pants down around its ankles. And I think it's time for California to understand the humiliation it's heaped on people.
But this man... This Eddie says he wasn't humiliated. He wasn't run out.
Not at all.
Well, I find it very curious.
All right.
That Hollywood sign just they shove it right in your face of the rest of the country. Oh, Hollywood. I bet they... Is the gentleman still there?
No, he's gone.
Well, I would say that I bet they took one look at his car and his wife, and they say, get out of here. Go back to the boonies, pal. You don't belong here.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, there he is, Dr. Jim Sadler. And just another entertainment note, Kelly Osbourne's in rehab. Yes, celebrating 10 years of Kurt Cobain being dead. It's the Phil Henry Show. Let's go over to Steve. Hello, Steve. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, so where are you from, Phil?
What are you writing a book or are you writing for the school paper? What's the story? Where am I from?
No, I was just interested in what you were talking about knocking all the college sports.
So you immediately ask where I'm from?
Well, I mean, where'd you go to school?
Oh, you mean you want to know where I went to school?
Yeah.
Not where I'm from.
Well, whatever. Tell me.
Well, I went to school in the city of Los Angeles.
Okay. And did they have any sports teams at your college?
Of course.
And did you root for your teams? I mean, did you go to the games?
What are you, Ralph Edwards? Is this your life or something?
I'm just asking
you. No, I didn't. When I was younger, I rooted for some of the teams, yeah.
But that's, I mean,
I don't understand.
All.
What has that got to do with what I'm talking about? I'm saying his college ball is triple-A sports at best. Why do I want to get invested in minor league sports? I don't understand.
Well, because you're not a fan of the school. I mean, that's the whole point. The whole point is that you go.
No, there's plenty of people who are into college ball. They never got past the third grade.
Okay, that's your opinion. I'm just saying that.
No,
like,
it's not my opinion. I happen to know.
But I mean, the whole point of, you know, the whole Final Four and you know, going to these schools and being excited about the teams is the fact that you went to the school.
Oh, yeah, so, man, where'd you go to school?
I went to Georgia Tech.
You went to Georgia Tech. Okay,
yeah,
and you like college basketball?
I do.
Okay, you haven't had much to root about.
Well, I mean,
so what have you, I don't understand. You went to Georgia Tech. You like college basketball. What have you been pulling for all these years? Because your school hasn't been in it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've had some good years, we've had some bad years, but the whole point is that you root for your team.
Yeah, but then when your team's out, what do? You stop rooting and move on?
No, it's still fun. Because it's your team. I mean, what's the
point? Wait, your team just got its rear end kicked out of the tournament. So then, what's fun about it?
The game's not over yet.
No, I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about in all the years past when Georgia Tech had a basketball team that couldn't compete with the Sisters of Mercy. What'd you do those years?
Well, then you got other sports to root. You got basketball.
Oh, so you stop rooting for basketball as soon as they don't make it.
It's not that you stop rooting for those sports. It's just that, you know, you have all those other sports to be interested in.
I think it's a great perspective from a guy who went to Georgia Tech and whose team's in it. I'm just telling you from the perspective of a guy that finds it dull. It's minor league sports, and I don't need to spend major league bread for that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean,
and I see it, you know, everybody getting jazzed, but it's, you know, hey, look,
I want to see my school
do well, man. I'd love to see it maybe pump out a few more PhDs as opposed to one more 7-foot-tall future janitor.
Well, what's the fun of sitting there and watching the NBA playoffs?
Because they're the best in the world. They're the best in the world.
It lasts over a month.
They're the best in the world. I'm watching the best players in the world.
But you're watching teams that can't even win half their
You're not hearing me. I'm watching the best players and the best brand of basketball in the world. When I watch college basketball, I'm not watching the best. I'm watching AAA at best. When I watch pro football, I'm watching the very best at their profession.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I'm watching a bunch of guys that won't make it onto a taxi squad in pro football. I've seen guys who won the Heisman Trophy. They couldn't make it on a taxi squad in the pros. So what's the big deal?
And you got guys like Jay Fiedler that just happen to fit into a system at Miami. He's not a great athlete.
You don't understand what I'm saying. Obviously, you don't watch pro sports, so I can't.
No, I watch pro sports.
What you're watching then, because there's no way I can explain it to you. I just got done telling you, you're watching the very best there is at the game. It's like watching a great surgeon. It's like hearing the best piano player. It's like hearing the best concert violinist. It's like watching the best jazz trumpet player. It's like seeing the greatest architect, Frank Lloyd Wright, as opposed to Eddie Sauerbrunn from down the street who's got an architecture office underneath the lumber shop. You know, what do I want to see, Frank Lloyd Wright build a house, or I want to see Joe Blow who sketches out a tool shed for me? What do you want to do? I want to see the best. I want to watch. I want to invest my money in the best. I don't want to waste my time anymore. Now, if you get jazzed watching college ball, I can dig it. The guy's got a very good argument when he says, that's my school. That I get. I don't know how many guys went to UConn and Georgia Tech. It can't be that many. There's 85 billion people watching this game. What, they all got PhDs from UConn and what? The Iditarod? And Georgia Tech? What is that about? Is that like Caltech and MIT? I doubt it. I doubt it sincerely. When you're talking MIT and Georgia Tech, you're talking moonshots, right? Georgia Tech, what are they trying to do there? Build a better lawnmower? I mean, I hate to knock the school, but I guess I will. No, it ain't even about the school. It's just about, you know, you can't really. It's like saying, who's the best ball player that you ever saw in your life? Who's the best baseball player you ever saw in your life? In my life, the best baseball player I ever saw was Willie Mays. But that's just me. And today's generation's going to tell you something else. Willie Mays could hit for power. He ran the bases with speed. He played defense. Did everything fantastic. But some guy's going to tell me now, this is somebody else, man. It's the A-Rod. It's, you know, Iditarod. I'm just giving you this old man's perspective. And you know what? When I was watching college football, I was just a football fan anyway. I'd watch pro football on Sundays because it was the culture of the house I grew up in. My father watched football, so we all watched football. And I used to go and see USC and UCLA at the Coliseum every freaking weekend, man. But I just got to the point where I don't, you know, if it's investing my hard-earned money and I'm going to go watch UCLA win the, what is it again, the Rose Bowl? Woo-hoo! The Rose Bowl I can get into because it's a long-standing tradition in California where I live and where you guys live and maybe something else. The Pool on Weed Eater Bowl, for instance. A long-standing tradition. There's the Purina Puppy Chow Bowl out there in Charlotte. I don't know what the hell they have, but I forget it, man. You want me to go to see AAA Bowl, then you start charging some AAA prices and get over yourselves a little bit, man. I ain't spending no $40 to go see the University of Kansas State Jack Balls. Oh, I'm sorry, they're the Jayhawks. All right, 1-800-449-8686. See, I don't have no patience no more for nothing. But congratulations to, who is it now? UConn. They're only leading by 106 points. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tonight on our show, our special guest Margaret Gray on how people have to be taught how to give recognition to those who deserve it, even if you have to make something up to make yourself look bigger than you already are, or worse. Vernon Dozier on why he trusts his wife with any kind of friendship she has with other men because he gives her what she needs, money. It's the Phil Henry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. In other news, Paul Harvey has been fined by the FCC for vile indecency in just another crackdown, ladies and gentlemen, on radio. Yes, Paul Harvey, who has been in trouble with the FCC, as you know, for 25 years with his foul, vulgar, disgusting, rotten mouth, garbage can for a mouth. Also, Melinda Lee, who does the food show on KFI. Yeah, you got it. You guessed it. Mm-hmm. I know. It's only a matter of time before her dirty mouth got her in trouble. And oh, yeah. Art Linkletter, another $1 million fine because of his disgusting jokes about a certain part of the body. When will we start cracking down on these people? I would love that. When I was up in, when I was working in Minneapolis, I was on this station. They had a lady who did, you had to see it to believe it, this station. The station I worked at in the Twin City. It ain't the good one that I'm on now, KSTP. It's the other one. Anyway, these guys, they really thought they were a great station, see? I guess they still do. Maybe they are. I don't want to knock them, but when I was there, oh my God. And they had a lady who, she did, like, the food report or something? Or, in other words, they go, now let's go to Suze Ellickson with, whatever the hell it was. It was, she's at the state fair, and how they make the cheese dogs or something, right? I mean, stuff like that.
Hi, I'm over here at the state fair. Now, what kind of cheese do you use?
It's just cheese. Oh, God, I want out of here.
Okay. And they deep fry it, and it's just great.
So, you know, I just would love it if they'd nail somebody like that with an indecency fine. How about fining people for doing crap can radio, huh? Now, you may think I'd get my share of fines, but I bet you I'd be one of the least fined in the country. We're going to start fining all of you guys that waste your time on the air. How about that? How about we start laying out some fines for all you cats with no talent whatsoever? Oh, my God. The federal government, I mean, the budget deficit would be solved within seconds. All right, we're fining you, pal. Why? Because your show sucked. Okay, let's go. 300 grand. 300 G's a show, man. Pretty soon they'd be blowing people out left and right. Yeah, Henry, well, you'd probably get your fair share of fines. I just said that. But, like, not as much as some. Oh, that'd be great. Or just start finding some of these cats that, you know, that are too clean. You know what? I'm just finding you for you. Well, what are you talking about? I'm Martha Stewart. I don't give a crap. I'm finding you. I'm finding you for indecency. Why? Just you being here. And you, what's your name again? Arthur Godfrey. Yeah, $2 million, you slob. Then you'd see... I'm telling you, Paul Harvey, when he ends his show with that good day, I bet you he's saying something else. I think it's F you. It really is. Paul Harvey.
F you?
Wait a minute. He just said, no, he didn't. He said good day. No, he did not. In Kankakee, Illinois, a woman by the name of Betsy Jones found a frog in her bed. Well, the police said it was put there by her son because he's mentally deficient, and it's better that than what he was planning on doing, driving a forest axe into her chest. Paul Harvey! Day! Page 3. Middle-aged woman by the name of Mary Brown lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Well, there's nothing unusual about that, but police found her climbing up a telephone pole, naked from the waist down, and when she told the police what she thought she was doing, well, Chief of Police Paul Zagat said he'd never heard a story like it before. He said that she said the telephone pole reminded her of her ex-husband, Paul Harvey. I'm telling you. Let's go to Holly. Hi, Holly.
Hey.
How you doing, kid?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Goody. What's up? I got a minute and a half, and then they tell me I got a split.
A minute and a half, and you got a split?
Yeah, I got a split. What's up?
Oh. Your comment about NBA.
Yeah, it blows.
You just talked up NBA.
Yeah, NBA's fine. Just I don't like the players, that's all. I like the way they play basketball, though.
But that's the thing. Yeah, you were just saying you absolutely love the players. It's a much better game than collegiate.
Yeah, unless they're playing the Europeans. But yeah.
Yeah, but you don't think a college basketball game is much more exciting, much more intense?
No, maybe for you, but for me, excitement is watching the best play.
NBA's
what it is.
NBA play no defense whatsoever.
Look at. Bottom line, take the best college basketball team, put them up against the worst NBA team, and they'd get destroyed.
Oh, I'd put money on it.
Oh, you would?
I'd put money on it.
Well, sure you put money on it, because I don't know who you are, and you're about to hang up, because I got the news coming up, and you will never be able to prove that. I'll just make that statement over
and over. But like Shaq said, NBA is as boring as the fact that it doesn't matter to the end of the season anyway.
One of the reasons why it's boring is because we got to listen to Shaq after every game.
Well,
if he shut his mouth and get out of the press conference, maybe things would liven up. All right, Holly, thanks. 1-800-449-8686. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray coming up next.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Talking with Margaret Gray, a nationally syndicated columnist, about this woman in Wisconsin. She said she was abducted. She wasn't. And this is this Munchausen syndrome?
Well, that is a disease. It's a mental disease. I'm talking about getting recognition because it's a desire to be recognized. It's a desire to be seen. I'm talking, though, about getting recognition for things that you are deserving of and that people just don't want to give to you.
Well, I mean, the girl in Wisconsin wanted recognition.
No, but that, what I'm talking about and what I said to Janice about my experience, I called last night to try to get on your show today because I knew the story I had to share was vitally important. When Janice called me and booked me, I told Frank, you've got to listen to the Henry Show tonight because I don't even know if Frank is.
Well, you've been active in your son's, Jason's, school, correct? And we're talking about getting recognition as opposed to this girl in Wisconsin with that Munchausen syndrome and doing something crazy.
Yes, doing something crazy to get people to feel sorry for you. In my case, it was a little bit different.
All right, this has to do with the work you did at Jason's school.
Yes, I've worked for the last 4 years at Monica's school as a teacher's assistant. I worked there.
While you're doing your professional career.
Yeah, absolutely, Phil. And so it is time away from your job. I've worked there 3 years. I drove the girls and boys volleyball teams to away games. I was an office assistant. I have fundraised for the school. I've been told that I'm singularly responsible, and I'm very proud of this, Phil. I'm singularly responsible for raising over the last 2 years $350,000 for that school.
That is great.
And because of my connections, I had Gary Shandling host one of our fundraisers. The year before, we had Dwight Yoakam and his wonderful country band. John Lithgow did a reading of his poetry. It was really great.
Were you recognized for this?
Well, here is the point that I want to make. And I want everyone to listen to this. After all of that work, we had a board meeting last summer, and they gave me, as recognition for all of that work, they gave me a serving tray with an engraving.
And that was their award, or?
That's it. A serving tray with an engraving, thank you, Margaret Gray. And I looked at Frank and I said, I was dumbfounded. And then I realized people are jealous. They're jealous. They don't want to give you recognition, even if they don't want to. So I hit upon an idea.
All right, but Margaret, I know about...
Let me explain it to the audience, though. You know,
I know about this idea.
I wanted to do something dramatic to induce the school community to give recognition that I felt I deserved. So one Saturday morning last September, and I don't want you to judge me for this, Phil. I want you to let the audience decide. One Saturday morning last September, I called Karen Brooks. She's our principal of the elementary school. I told her that I had been raped the night before. Now, before you judge...
Margaret, the story...
Before you go judging me, I want you to listen. Just listen.
I think it's a horrible lie to tell.
Please just listen. I told her I didn't want to go to the police. I felt the best thing to do was not make a big deal. Why do you think that's a horrible lie?
You told the principal of the school that you had been raped in order to get people to pay more attention to you. Why is that different from that Munchausen's girl in Wisconsin?
Because, Phil, there are times that you have to force people to recognize good works. I'd worked for that school for 4 years. Now, I told Karen that I could really use the support of the board members since I had been raped, and yes, it was a lie, but she called a board meeting and informed everyone of what had happened. I want you to hear what happened. They got together and decided to announce that they would rename our senior study area the Margaret Gray Senior Study Room. We got a call into the Today Show people who are interested in my story. So what I'm trying to say, and I can hear your disapproval...
I think you told this woman that you had been raped to get recognition.
To get recognition...
All right, it was deserving recognition. Let's say it was deserving recognition. Why do you have to make up such a horrific story in order to get it?
Because some people need to have their faces pushed in it. They have jealousy. Other people need to know who to recognize, to know who the true leaders are. And really, that is the story that I'm trying to tell. They'll know who the natural leaders are, and in an emergency, they'll know who to follow.
Well, you used the words that you were brutally raped.
Yes, I did. And the point is, I wasn't, but it got people to pay attention, and I got the senior study room named after me. The Today Show people are supposed to call. It's not that I want the accolades.
Oh, no, it's not that you want the accolades. Then what do you want?
It's that I want people to know who the quality people are. That's all.
All right. Our number here on the Phil Henry Show, Margaret Gray joins me, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You did all of this wonderful stuff for the school, and they didn't recognize you the way you wanted to be recognized, okay? They didn't...
No, hold on for a minute.
No, they gave you a serving tray... You know, with an engraving.
I find that very poor comfort after 4.5 years of driving the volleyball. I told you all the things that I did. Phil, human nature is such. Let me educate you a little bit, because I've been around this world a little bit more than you and probably a lot of your listeners. Human nature is such that unless you take the back of someone's head and shove their face right into your accomplishments, they'll never recognize you. The girl in Wisconsin who made up that she'd been abducted, yes, was sick, I'm sure, because she really was, this girl was a loser. You could tell by her story, she was a 100% unmitigated loser. In my case, I've done valuable work, but no one recognized it. So we took some liberties with the truth.
Do you know how emotionally impactful saying you were raped is? Do you know that it's almost like emotional manipulation?
I'm not asking people to come to my house and comfort me. I'm simply saying, you know, I got raped. By the way, you know all the work I've done for the school. And then they go, you know something, you're right, and let's do something. That's all there was to it.
So wait a minute. You got a board meeting. People come and they say, oh, my God, Margaret, I'm sorry that you got raped. And you say, well, you know, thank you. By the way, I've done a lot of work for the school.
No, it's just that you remind them, you know, in the middle of all of this, I get raped, and I've been doing this and that for the school. It isn't about me.
Well, then how come they renamed it the Margaret Grace? I mean, that's what they wanted to name it.
That's exactly what they wanted to name the school. Yeah, renamed the senior study room.
So they could have renamed it anything, right, if it isn't about you?
Well, but it's about recognizing my achievements and my contributions. What I'm trying to say, Phil, and I know you, the difference between me and the girl in Wisconsin is she's a loser looking for people to say, aren't you special, when in fact she's a loser. I'm someone who actually contributes.
The girl in Wisconsin, okay, is sick. I think, Margaret, that...
You're not going to say that I'm sick. I know fully well that what I said was a lie.
Well, I'm sure that what she knew fully well that what she said was a lie. I don't see the difference. You know...
Phil, that girl in Wisconsin had an entire community with her little kidnapping escapade. I didn't hurt anyone by saying that I was brutally raped. She hurt an entire community. And now they all know it's a lie.
I fail to see... What if other people get the similar ideas... What if other people start doing this? What if other people start taking a cue from that girl in Wisconsin or you and start making up things so they get recognition?
Are they getting recognition for things that they've done? There are millions of people who are overlooked every day in this country. They go out and contribute to charity. They do the little things. No one gives them recognition. How do you get people to recognize that?
Tell them that you got raped.
It doesn't have to be. It can be something as simple as, I'm sick, I'm very sick, or I've got cancer. Nothing that is ultimately going to hurt anyone. That's what I'm trying to say. And I really feel bad that you have to characterize it that way.
Well, you called my show wanting to get on my show.
I called your show wanting to tell an honest story, yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. You know, what's the difference between Munchausen syndrome, where you say, oh, I'm sick, just so people will pay attention to you, and making up some story that you got raped so people will recognize you've actually done some good for the community? This lady, Margaret Gray, in coming on this program to talk about the Munchausen syndrome story out of Wisconsin, said that she'd worked for her son's school for 4 years as an administrative assistant, as a volleyball assistant, as a person that fundraised, as somebody did all this stuff, and nobody recognized her for it, so she made up a story that she got raped. All of a sudden now they're naming study rooms after her, and they're having all kinds of things to honor her. What was the other thing? I forget. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Henry Show as we talk with Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated columnist, about the difference between her and this girl in Wisconsin. The girl in Wisconsin's a loser. She actually does something for her community. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. It's not news. It's the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret Gray is on the line, the nationally syndicated writer who... We were talking about the woman in Wisconsin who, you know, claimed that she'd been abducted when in point of fact she wasn't. It's called Munchausen syndrome, where you try to get sympathy. You, Margaret, have admitted on my program tonight that you told people at your son's school that you'd been raped, which is not a true story, so you get more recognition for the things you've done for that school. I want you to tell my audience why you don't think you're crazy.
Why, I don't think I'm crazy. Phil, let me explain. As I said, the girl in Wisconsin's a loser.
No, no, but you're saying rape, in other words, is a horrible thing. Why would you choose that? To say, oh, I got raped, to get recognition.
I chose that because you've seen people, women, who have claimed that they have been, and they carry on about how traumatic it was. I thought that people would then respond to me, would be open to the truth about the things that I do.
Women carry on who've been raped.
Well, they go through all kinds of dramatics. I don't know. It's never happened to me, and I'm not saying that it's not a very, very horrible experience, but definitely the women that go, I mean, the woman in the Kobe Bryant case, for instance, she goes on and on and on and on about this situation, and we don't know what's true.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go to Allison. Hello, Allison.
Hi.
Yes, hi.
I just wanted to say, am I on the air?
Yes, you are, Margaret.
Oh, sorry.
I'm right here. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say to Margaret that I'm a forensic nurse, so I do have some idea of what I'm talking about. What you're doing is so damaging to so many women. Because all
now,
we do
how
have
am
to
I damaging
go,
other women? I'm
you're damaging other women because all we do have to go on is what these women who have been through the experience have to say to us. And if we just make up stories, then that makes those women unbelievable. It makes their experience unnoticed by the rest of the world.
I don't understand what you're saying. I didn't even go to the police.
Well, I understand that you're very desperate for attention.
No, I'm not desperate for attention. I'm trying to show people who do good works and don't get recognized need to make their case known.
And that's very important.
And
they don't do it by lying about how they don't do it by lying about being raped or having cancer.
How do they do it?
They do it by standing up and saying, I have done these works. They don't take a half of it.
Well, if you do that, you get a plate with an engraving on it. And I think that's insulting for 4.5 years worth of work.
Well, then don't do it. If you're only doing it for recognition,
no,
don't do it.
I'm not doing it. I'm doing it so that people
don't
know who to follow.
Don't tell people. Don't advise people, to say that you have cancer or to say that you've been raped or to say that these horrible traumatic experiences have gone on for you.
Look, let's say that I deserve...
It takes away from the experiences of people who have really had those experiences.
Well, I heard you say that already, and that's just you're not making your case very well. I'm simply saying that I deserve to have the senior study area named after me. Saying that I was raped simply sped up the process.
No, that's not at all the
case. Yes, it did. Absolutely it did.
You have made people who have really been raped non-believable now.
Oh, my God, she's still going down that same road about non-believable.
Well, she's making a point. It's like the boy that cried wolf. And
oh, now we're telling Mother Goose stories. The boy, oh, my God. What I'm saying is this. If people need a leader, who do they know to follow? They'll only know to follow you if you stand up and say, I'm the one to follow. And if they won't recognize you, they won't follow you.
Do you think
that's
people want to follow you now
raped.
That you've said that that you lied about being raped? Do you think anybody wants
no,
to follow
I'm not,
you now?
They don't know that I lied. I'm just saying this on Phil's show.
Oh, dear.
All right. Thank you for your call. 1-800. How do you know they're not listening?
Who?
The people that your school where you said you got raped. How do you know they're not out there listening?
Phil, I am surprised. The nature of radio listeners is it goes in one ear and out the other. People are selective listeners. God. I would think you'd know that by now. I really am. I'm stunned.
1-800-449-8686. Terry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray.
Am I on?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I want to tell this woman that if she is helping out in that school to be recognized for herself, she is doing it for the wrong reasons. It's self-serving. I help out in my children's school, and I do it for them. It is important for my children to see me volunteer at their school
but
so that they know that school is important.
You're announcing it on the air, though, see? So even you want recognition. That's what I'm saying.
I don't.
Well, why are you telling me about it?
I am telling you, you are sick.
Why
you are a sick, sick woman, and you are in that school for the wrong reason.
I'm sick. I've raised $350,000 for that school. I had Gary Shandling as one of the MCs. What have you done for your school?
I volunteer where I can. I work full-time, and I volunteer where I can.
So what, you and your husband
raise
enough money to buy what?
And I haven't raised $350,000 because I obviously don't have the connections that you do.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. And people like me need to be recognized. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be. But you should have gotten the place of the
waiter. I don't want to be recognized. I want my children to know that I'm in this school because it's important.
That's
school
it.
School is important.
Right, and the parents
it's
that help out...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Terry, I was just backing you up. The parents that help out just want the school to be a better place.
But, Phil, they won't know who the true parental leaders are unless you stand up. And there I am raising $350,000. Karen Brooks, who doesn't lift a finger for that school, and they've got Karen Brooks, our principal, this, Karen Brooks does this and that. And look, it, with all due respect, Terry, you and your husband, what, you raised enough money to buy a basketball hoop or something? That's fine. That's fine and that's good. But I got Dwight Yoakam to play one of our benefits. People came up to me later and said, oh, my God, Dwight Yoakam.
Good for you. Good for you.
You want to know what that's like, don't you?
I don't.
Oh, I can hear it in your voice.
I don't.
Wait a minute. The lady's saying...
Oh, my God. You are so sick.
How am I sick? Saying simply, look at me, recognize me, and follow me if you need to.
But
my God.
But to say that you were raped in order to get recognition,
look,
that
I've
is
looked,
sick.
I've looked
that
into
is
the matter.
Sick.
I've looked up, I've researched rape.
Send yourself
rape.
A big thank you note.
Look, at I've researched rape, and I've looked into it, and it's bad. Yes, it's very bad. But they make a big deal out of it. Terry, you deserve... What you did...
I don't deserve anything.
I would give you a chimple.
I deserve for my children to have a good education. And if I need to be in this school for them to get that, to help out where I can, that is what I do.
Well, let me ask you something. If you did a lot of great things and they gave you a bowl for tortilla chips, what would you... You'd be insulted, wouldn't you?
You know what? I'm a volunteer.
She's a volunteer.
Volunteers do it for the goodness of their heart, not for recognition.
Well, I think Dwight Yoakam is worth more than a cheap platter, and damn it, I deserve more.
Then write a letter to Dwight Yoakam, and maybe he'll give you a big thank you.
You know something? Dwight's on tour right now, or I would.
All right. Thank you very much, Terry. 1-800-449-8686. All right, I'm going to take a break here. I know we have calls waiting, and we'll get back to those phone calls. But, Margaret, I would say this. Rape is a terribly damaging, horribly vicious, violent crime. For you to use it to gain recognition for yourself...
Phil, I know what you're going to say is so manipulative. May I remind you that I'm a woman, you're a man. And you don't... If a man did this, I would be outraged. But because a woman's doing it, I think I know the territory that I'm trotting upon. It's like black people calling each other the N-word. It's perfectly fine when they do it. You see what I'm saying? But a white man can't. The same with rape. When women make jokes about it, it's fine. And you men need to understand this.
Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray on claiming she got raped for more recognition. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm on with the nationally syndicated columnist Margaret Gray. You know, this is out of the blue. We were going to talk about people that do this Munchausen syndrome thing. Like the girl in Wisconsin, she went out and got lost. It turned out that she hadn't been abducted. She just wanted the attention. You say that it's not bad getting attention for yourself if it's to get positive recognition. Correct, Margaret?
Yes, that's correct, but I think you should ask Janice something.
One second. Ms. Gray has an announcement. She's talking over the break, and she has an announcement to make.
Did she?
Yeah. Did you wanted to say something?
Yes. The announcement that I want to make at this time, Phil, is the plaque that I was given, the serving tray that I was given by the school, which, as you know, I feel is inadequate to recognize 4.5 years of volunteer service, I'm going to give to a rape shelter. So I don't know if that it makes you feel better, makes your listeners feel better. But I do definitely still want to have the senior study room named after me, and I am expecting to have the Today Show interview.
This was the announcement, Janice?
Well, do you find that inadequate?
I find it a little insulting, yeah. Oh, well, I guess I'll just give it to a rape shelter.
You know, the judgment that I'm getting on your program tonight, I think it's way out of bounds, Phil. I can tell you that a great many good people have been ignored in their lives for the great works that they've done. Other people can recognize them, but when people stand up for themselves, apparently it's wrong.
Margaret.
No, let me tell you about someone. A man by the name of Stan Hopery, who volunteered out here in the Valley for one of the Little Leagues, 21 years. This man was a coach, he was an umpire, he was a manager, he was a president of the league for the Little League. And at the end of 21 years, they gave him a plaque. And that's all. And you know something? It wasn't enough. Stan felt he deserved more. And yes, he did something similar to what I did. He floated a rumor that he was dying from degenerative syphilis, and as a result, they named the main Major League Park after him. Do you think he would have gotten that honor had he not made up that story?
Not that he was dying of cancer, that he was...
Yes, that he was dying of syphilis.
I would imagine that that would make people just want to stay far away from the guy.
When he's dying?
So now that they find out he's dying of syphilis, so they're going to name a ballpark after him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? People like you who judge... Let me tell you this, Phil. My daughter used to say this. I'll put in a good word for you with St. Peter.
Thank you, Margaret.
And I know you're being sarcastic, but I'm not.
1-800-449-8686. Linda, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Margaret,
yes,
you're saying you're getting bad judgment on this show.
Absolutely.
Okay, but I believe you're judging everyone else incorrectly also. I have a daughter and grandchildren. My daughter volunteers at school weekly, and she also is campfire leader, and she does not expect anything but a thank you and a pat on the back. Why should you be any different than anyone else that does volunteer work?
Well, I can turn that question around. Why should she be different from me? Why doesn't she stand up for herself? Why doesn't she I want some recognition for helping keep the school and the Campfire Association alive?
She has the recognition she needs. She's not an idiot that needs a flipping room named after her.
You know something? You call me an idiot. Are you dying of a disease?
Hey, I've had cancer, lady, so don't tell
me
about
disease. Why not use that?
Hey.
Why not use
that
in your favor?
For 1 second and quit being quite as rude.
I don't appreciate being told to shut up.
Well, the lady's trying to get a word in edgewise, all right?
I don't think anyone on this
can
show...
Can you know who I'm speaking to?
Go ahead, Linda.
You're not only a liar, but you're also extremely rude.
You know what? You don't know who you're talking to, okay?
I don't care who I'm talking to. Anybody that makes up a horrendous story like that about being raped has got a screw loose. I'm sorry.
So all of the work I did getting new basketball hoops, taking the volleyball teams to and from games for 4 years, all of the work I did at the bake sale, at the cookie exchange, decorating for homeroom night.
Do you think everyone that volunteers, that does good for other people, should have a room named after them or a baseball field named after them?
Well, you know as well as I do, Linda, that baseball stadiums and concert halls are named... The Disney Concert Hall, they just opened up. Why do they name it after Disney? Why does he get paid for it, you think? No, he's dead. Oh, my God. Don't you know he's dead?
You don't think he has a corporation that does all this? Just because he has passed away, he has no income any longer?
Oh, my God. You didn't hear that he died.
Did you hear what the lady said? He has Disney Corporation.
Don't you think there's a Disney Corporation? You can still buy stock in Disney. It doesn't matter that he's living or dead. He still has a Disney Corporation.
Walt Disney floated the rumor that he was being cryogenically kept alive. Don't you think that feeds into the fact that people recognize him?
We aren't talking about Disney. We're talking about you.
Let's talk about you, Linda. You had cancer, and yet you didn't have the courage to use that to get recognition for yourself.
Why would I do that?
It was a tragedy. No, it doesn't have to be, is what I'm saying.
So,
you could have told people I've got cancer. How about naming that ballpark after me?
Why would I do that?
Because you've worked hard. You sound like you've done a lot for people, haven't you?
Absolutely, I've worked hard.
You can tell them, you know something, I'm dying of, what did you have, liver cancer or something?
I wasn't dying, and I'm not dying, and I would not use an illness if I were trying to benefit.
Well, then why did you tell me you had cancer? You were trying to benefit by telling me that, weren't you?
You don't even know who I am or where I'm from, you know anything?
You were trying to get the inside track on this argument.
Oh, dude.
You could have had a street named after you, but you blew it. You blew it.
I don't want a street named after me.
What is it with you, Margaret? The lady had cancer. She don't want a street named after her.
Well, then that's her loss, isn't it?
You are unbelievable.
All right. 1-800-449...
Goodbye.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Linda Lane.
No point, man.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. So if you have cancer, use it to your advantage.
The lady said she's done a great many works.
But she doesn't want to have recognition.
Phil, that's one of the greatest lies told by the human race. The fact that they don't want recognition. Everybody wants recognition. That woman blew a beautiful opportunity. There she was, seething and being eaten alive by cancer, and didn't use a thing, didn't do a thing with it.
Could have had a street named after her. Oh, my God.
You know, I really find it, I find it obscene that you're laughing. I really do. I find it more obscene than me saying that I was raped.
Let me go to Amy. Hi, Amy. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I've been waiting to talk to this lady. Lady, you've got a problem.
Oh, you know something.
We weren't put on this earth to be conceited and to get a pat on the back.
How do you know why we were put on this earth?
We were put on the earth to do good for the Lord, to follow in His footprints, not
in
to be a Judas.
His footprints or His footsteps?
Both. Not to be a Judas and to turn around and get paid for something. No, I'm not. But I'm listening to you.
All right.
If that's all you feel,
Amy, could you do me a favor and hold on? I just need to take a 30-second break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back with you. This is the Phil Henry Show. Are we clear?
Yes.
Okay. Amy, you just get on hold for a second, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Margaret?
Yes.
I want you, if you wouldn't mind, to give me your phone number after the show so we can reconnect.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The lady that I'm talking to right now is some kind of a religious nut.
No, I'm not.
No, I don't think she's a religious nut.
No.
She's a woman who is on the line expressing an opinion.
No, she's one of these Jesus freaks.
No, I'm not.
And what I want to do is try to blow through that call as fast as I can. I want to get my book, the book
lady,
signing.
Lady, I'm not a Jesus
I'll be talking
freak.
About the book signing, okay?
Well, the woman that you've got on the line right now, either she's a Jesus freak or she's some kind of a Jew.
No, I'm not.
Margaret, I would hasten to tell you not to talk that way on the air when we get back on the air.
I don't want to talk to some gap-toothed, Bible-thumping hick bitch.
I am not.
Watch that language when we get back on the air, please. All right, how much time? 30 seconds? We got 30 seconds, and then I want to come back to the call, and we're going to get the name of your book signing, okay?
Yes, but please, if you let me talk to this hick, she's going to...
Just watch the language on the air.
But people like her are going to show up at the signing, is what I'm saying.
No, I wouldn't dare.
We're back at the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Okay, Amy and Margaret Gray. Amy, go ahead.
Margaret, I heard everything you said. I am not a religious freak, okay? And I'm not a hick. I happen to be a German, and I am just expressing my opinion. I'm a 47-year-old single parent.
Excuse me, I never said any such thing about you.
Oh, yes, you have. I heard you. Hello.
No, you did not. How dare she?
Well, Margaret, during the break, that's what you said.
I heard you.
How dare you lie? How dare you lie?
I'm not a bitch.
You know that Jesus Christ died on the cross so you wouldn't lie?
I'm not lying.
And now you're lying.
You are. You're the
Margaret,
one that's going to live in hell.
I heard you say it.
You didn't hear me say it. What do you think I said? I called you a hick?
Yeah, you did.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did. You called me a bitch, and you didn't want to talk to me because I'm a Jew? I don't think so.
I never said any... How dare you?
Oh, yeah.
Margaret, I have to say, during the break, you used
those
kind of pejorative terms.
I could get a copy of Mr. Henry's
tape. I will demand a copy of the tape of your show,
you
and
please.
I will file a slander suit against you.
I don't think
so. And this thing I'm talking to on the phone right now.
I happen to be a 47-year-old single woman, and I can have my opinion expressed, just like you do.
All right.
I've heard you a number of times on here where you went down to showed
Hold
your
on.
Boobs on the
showed
Mardi Gras and all this
oh
other
my
stuff.
God.
If that's what you feel you need to be recognized by being a slander person that has to make lies because you were raped.
All right, Mr. Henry, you will be sued. I never called this woman a Jew.
Yes, you did during my break.
Yeah, during your break, I heard you.
I thought you had her on hold.
We did.
I was on hold.
Somehow the woman could hear.
I can hear every word on a break.
So
thank
you've got a German lesbian who's going to slander me, and I don't get to do anything.
Lady, give me a break.
All right.
Give you a break. They just had a break, and you could hear everything I said.
Yeah.
Why would I give you another one?
Because you don't want to hear the truth.
Why did
you think your opinion
is the
only opinion
that
matters?
You know what? Why don't you go to the dinosaur and throw a football around? Goodbye.
She thinks her opinion is the only one that matters. I wouldn't even be in line for her book.
I understand. Hold on for a minute. Ms. Gray?
What?
What are you doing, ma'am?
I'm hanging up.
She doesn't even know how to hang up a phone.
She's not.
Do you need help?
What was that, crack?
You don't even know how to hang up a phone? What do you have,
how
a old fashioned?
How dare you?
Not hang it up.
Good God, hang the phone up.
She doesn't know how.
probably using it at the other end of her body because that's how she was raped.
Oh, aren't you so amusing?
Oh, I
well,
know.
Well, I guess
I
you
am.
Ought to know about things like that.
Well, that's what these Jewish people do all day, you know? We don't work for a living. We have to sit around and make up stories
okay,
like you do
look,
to be recognized.
Eva, put your ball mitt on. I think you're up.
Because you need a plaque to recognize.
Right.
Well, lady, when you're dead, you can have all the plaques you want.
Better up.
All right.
And hopefully they'll bury you upside down.
I don't know what that means, but...
So they can use the bed.
Bed. 1-800-449-8686. Twisted and Sick. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertainment. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We had Ted Bell, who is the owner of Ted's Beverly Hills Steakhouse, on our program last week. He was talking about, in the wake of Dennis Kozlowski being a mistrial being declared in his trial, the former CEO of Tyco, we were saying what injustice there is in this world and how the rich are getting away with murder. And Ted called up to say, no, the rich have to suffer injustice, too. It's just that people don't care about that.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I have all the respect in the world for people who make a lot of money. And I hope to do so more and more myself. But I think it is the height of arrogance for this guy, whoever he is, to talk about...
I'm Ted Bell, right? I own one of the most successful steakhouses in the West Coast.
That's fine. God bless you.
I'm Ted Bell.
I think it is the height of arrogance for you to talk about dealing with people who don't make as much money as you do in terms of having to go to their houses and you're afraid you're going to get some bad food because they prepared it themselves or something like that.
I think it's a concern, yes, sir. I think it's a concern. You got to understand that first of all, I'm a restaurateur, so I know that the Board of Health makes me keep my restaurant cleaner than your kitchen. Now, that's not any comment on you. Now, number two, when you go to a guy's house and he says, you want to come over and we'll sit in the backyard, I'm not sure what's he driving at. Can you tell me?
Well, what do you mean?
You're talking about sitting in the backyard.
When the guy says, come to your house and sit in the, what is wrong with that?
What is that? I live in an 8,000-square-foot home. I've got a pool house. Doesn't he understand that when he asked me to sit on a lawn chair in his backyard, he doesn't understand, so why am I even talking about it?
Explain to us, what is it like to sit on a lawn chair in someone's backyard instead of sitting in your pool house?
It is a deprivation. It is something that I have, that I had, that I don't have anymore. In other words... It is going without. In other words, it is a suffering that is experienced just like the poor and just like the middle class.
What do you sit in?
I beg your pardon?
What do you sit in when you're not...
No, I'm talking... I have a pool house. I've got a pool that's 41 feet long, 22 feet wide, with
okay,
a springboard.
Good to hear. Right?
What do I want to sit in the guy's backyard and watch his sprinklers go off? So you're asking me to sit and get eaten by bugs...
No,
I don't understand what this guy is.
I'm not asking you to do anything. All I'm
I can tell if people are calling or just dying to ask me what it's like to be rich. Why don't you just ask me what it's like to be rich?
Listen, let me tell you something. If I had an attitude like you, if I thought that being rich brought with it an attitude like you've got, I would want to be poor.
So you want me to come over to your house...
No,
with your chain link fence. With your mobile home parked in the driveway.
I grew up in an upper class neighborhood. Father with a good job. I've got some education. I'm doing well myself. And let me tell you something, bud. I wouldn't have you in
tell
my
me about
house.
Tell me about the last Clemson game you went to. You know, look, I got floor seat. You wouldn't have me. Let's just say you and I were friends.
I wouldn't have you in my house with the attitude that you've got.
Do you got a dog?
Yes.
And you let it run around in the yard? So you don't have a run for it?
My dog lives in the house and in the yard.
Oh, my sweet.
What?
I can't explain.
All right, Rick, Rusty, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. What is wrong with that?
What? Look at, again, to each his own. But I got to go to a guy's house where the dog's not in a run. You're going to ask me to do that, and then you have the arrogance to say to me, "Oh, the rich, they don't suffer." You know, to me, I want to just—I would rather, Phil, honest to God, there is a biblical phrase, and it goes something like this: I would rather put my eyes out with a stick from a tree than look at you.
That, is that in the Bible?
I believe it is.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
That's right. I've seen that line. I'd rather put my eyes out with a stick from a tree than look at you. That's in the Bible. Yikes. All right, 1-800-449-8686. The Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003 CD, where you can hear nuggets like that. You can get it online. The Death of Talk Radio, and all the proceeds that, the bread that we make from the sale of our CD goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. You can buy it on our website, or you can call 877-616-7445. Coming up next, an interview with Mr. Vernon Dozier. Did you see The Sopranos last night? It was very interesting. Michael went nuts when he found out that Adriana had gone out to dinner or, had been out with Tony. Nothing happened, but Michael was humiliated by the fact that his girlfriend, his fiance, was with another guy. We're going to talk about how some guys can't handle that and some guys can, next on The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Joining us from the Little Shrimp in Laguna Beach, where they just saw the University of Connecticut defeat Georgia Tech, is Doug Danger, who is a entertainment reporter for the Orange County Courier. But we're not here to talk about basketball, Doug. We're here to talk about The Sopranos last night and a dynamic from that show that you wanted to discuss.
Absolutely, Phil. We're here really to talk about Michael and Adriana, the two characters, two young people. Michael is a mafia soldier. Adriana is his girlfriend. Michael becomes extremely upset when he finds out that his girlfriend, Adriana, has been out with Tony Soprano, the mob boss, even though nothing was going on. He was very humiliated by that because all kinds of rumors were spread. I thought about this for a while, Phil. As you know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Before I came out, though, I was straight, and I was married. And I can tell you, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, most men are worried that their wives... most men are worried when their wives have male friends. I was never worried. Because one thing you need to know about women is, if you know how to take care of them, then you won't be insecure. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I've looked at this problem. When you're a confident man and you're giving your wife what she needs and the things she likes, you don't have to worry about, like some emasculated men, about what she's doing anytime she even smiles at a man. And it never worried me.
Well, that's a hard thing to get for a man to get used to. You're saying when you were, would you say you were straight at one time?
Yes, I was. Before I came out as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I was straight and I was married for 5 years. And it never bothered me. My wife had three friends. She had one guy was a friend of hers from school. Another male friend of hers was someone she met at work. And another one was a neighbor of ours. And I never worried about it because men who are insecure, they can't take it if their wife even smiles at a guy. They're not taking care of business, if that's the point. As an example on my own life when I was straight, I used to buy my wife a diamond a month, either a little one-point diamond or something bigger. And the first of the month, I'd always give her a diamond. We had dinner once a week. Any restaurant she wanted to go to in town, she got a new car every year, nothing less than an E-Class Mercedes.
Well, you're a generous husband.
Absolutely. I mean, she got a clothing allowance. These are the things that if you do them for a woman, she's never going to stray to another man, and you don't have to worry about her cheating on you. So my wife had her male friends. She had her male friends on a Friday night. She'd go out with a couple of them dancing at a club that we used to have in our town.
Did you take your wife dancing as well?
I'm sorry, Phil, I didn't hear that.
Did you take your wife dancing as well?
Well, no, dancing is not what you'd call high on the list of things that women need to do. So you have to know women. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, even though I realize it's kind of a dichotomy.
Well, it is curious to hear you talking about being gay, but at one time you were straight.
But as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I have a perceptive ability. Having been straight and now I'm gay, I have a perceptive ability, and I'm able to see, maybe more clearly, I suppose, than the average bear, if you will. So women...
You're saying women don't need to dance.
No, women don't need... You need to take care of women on a level that they really appreciate it. I mean, they would much rather you buy them a dress, a pair of shoes, a piece of art. I've been married 7 years, and my wife would never look at another man because she knows that when she met me, she knew when she met me, she rolled sevens.
All right, well, but what I'm saying here, Doug, and we're speaking with Doug Danger, entertainment reporter for the Orange County Courier, about how men who take care of their wives don't have to worry whether their wives have male friends on the side. I'm getting at romance. I mean, that, to me, that's, if you want to be confident that your wife isn't interested in other men, you need to be romantic with her, right?
Well, in what way?
Love making. Women want to have the man they love be intimate with them.
Well, that's fine, but it's not the most important thing. I'll tell you, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. My wife, Jeannie was her name, she was at a spa for 3 days out of every month with this friend of hers, Jim. This guy that lived in the neighborhood. Most men would come unglued. Didn't bother me at all. Because even though I'm gay, I was straight then, and I guess confidence has always been my long suit. I never had a problem with her being with other men, because I know there's no way she was going to cheat on me.
No way that she would cheat on you because you treated her so well.
Because I treated her well, because, look, I gave her, dear, I hope you heard what I said, a new Mercedes, no less than an E-Class, every year. A diamond a month. She had clothes. We had a timeshare in Mexico. We had another place out in Palm Desert.
Well, you can, I'll tell you this much, Doug, and I'm going to give her a number out here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. If you worry about your wife having male friends, then you don't have a lot of confidence. We're speaking with Doug Danger, who is the entertainment editor of the Orange County Courier. You're leaving out something here, sex. Is sex important to women?
Look, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, and also as a very confident man, it makes me feel a little sorry for these guys who just can't handle their women having male friends simply because they don't know how to treat their women right.
And but is sex important?
Sex is... No, it's not the most important. That's the funny thing. Most guys think that sex is the most important thing. Let me tell you something. Any woman... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but when I was straight, I would dare say, and I suppose this is arrogant of me to say this, but most women that I met would probably prefer the way I treated them. Because my wife, I would get her, for instance, she wanted to go to the Hollywood Bowl, like every summer. We had season passes to the Hollywood Bowl, had season passes to the music center. I got her day passes to spas. I bought her massages and things. Also, we bought a beautiful home out here in Rose Valley that was just gorgeous, had a pool, had a indoor spa. So did I worry knowing how I treated my wife about her having male friends? Of course not. If you do if you get her enough stuff, now I'm gay, but I used to be straight.
Well, you were straight when you were married. You were straight.
Yes, when I was married, I was straight.
Let me just say this, Doug. I'm just going to tell you. Count me among those guys. I wouldn't think that was cool if my wife went out to a spa in the desert for 3 days with some dude. You know.
What do you think's going to happen?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I trust my old lady, but I'll tell you what, if my wife said to me, I want to go for 3 days to a spa with some other guy, I would think that she's going to cheat on me.
That is called a lack of... Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
When you say you're a gay man and a gay journalist, I can dig...
A man has to have my kind of confidence, okay?
Well, what makes you so confident because you're gay?
Because as a gay man and a gay journalist, I used to be straight, and I used to walk in straight shoes. Now I walk in gay shoes, and I have an ability to see where women really are at. And if women get the things they really need, not that other stuff, you're talking about sex. Sex is important. But any woman in the world would much rather have a diamond necklace than some guy fumbling in the bedroom. See what I'm saying? Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And
but dude, your wife went out to the desert with another guy? Weren't you ever afraid she was going to have sex?
Never. Not at all. When you know how to treat a woman, Phil, you're a little insecure, and I think you're insecure if you don't trust your wife with another man in a spa for 3 days. You've got to be some kind of, you must really not be, you know, there must be a problem in your marriage. A woman needs to see love. I showed my wife love every single day. Not talk about it, and not just say, oh, let me take you in the bedroom and make love to you. That's, so what? Any guy can do that. She wants to see it. She wants to spend it.
Well, you're basically saying women are into material things.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that women are into a man's honest efforts at truly showering them with love.
With material things. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Linda on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger.
Hi. I just want to make a comment about the gay journalist who keeps talking about how to women.
Yes, ma'am. I'm Doug Danger.
He has no clue what he's talking about. Material things are not as important to women as affection, as paying attention to them. My husband gets up and makes my coffee every single day.
All right,
my husband irons my clothes for me. My husband helps me clean the house. Those are the things that are important. And sex is important, too. And don't get me wrong, it's fabulous. But that's not the only thing in our marriage.
Well,
and he
saying.
Doesn't have
here,
to hand
Linda,
me a diamond.
Linda, I got a question for you, okay?
Okay.
Would your husband trust you if you had another guy friend?
I have several guy friends, and my husband...
Okay, that's great. And can you go away for, like, a weekend with one of them?
I wouldn't do that because I wouldn't want him to go away with another woman.
Okay, see, there's a big red flag there. That's a big red flag. You ought to be able to go away for, say, a week and a half to Europe with another guy if you want. And your husband...
Why do I want to do that, though? I have everything I need at home.
Maybe he's working. Maybe he's busy, but you can go to Spain or something, and this other guy can go with you.
Well, why would she go with another guy? Why not go with a girlfriend?
Why not go with a male friend? What's wrong with that?
I go with girlfriends wherever I want to, whenever I want to, but my husband is my best friend. So if I want to go anywhere, I go with him.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I used to be straight.
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay, when I was straight, my wife could have any friend she wanted, go anywhere with him that she wanted to. My wife went to Mexico for a week and a half with a coworker of hers, a male friend.
That's
and you
beautiful, but if you think she wasn't screwing with one of them, and you're gay,
see?
I know better.
No, I was straight then.
Well,
I'm
yeah,
gay
but
now,
there
but
is
I'm...
apparently a problem because
no,
you're gay
no problem.
Now.
What? I'm gay now, yeah.
Yeah. And I know
then.
Enough gay men to know that, and growing up with several gay men, I know that they were not straight at any point.
I can tell you, well, at one time in my life I was married. And you just told me your husband's not a strong man because you won't go away for a weekend with one of your male friends. If you can
my
go
husband,
away for it.
My husband is a very strong and very secure man. He's a good man. But why would I want to leave him to go away with
I
another man?
I think you
man?
Need to test the strength of your marriage by going away for a week with another man to Hawaii. And
why
then and
I
only
that?
Then are you going to find out how strong your husband is.
There,
I'm gay.
There is no man that
but
I would
I straight.
Spend a week with.
Well,
I have gay friends.
So are you saying that Linda's marriage just isn't what she thinks it is because she doesn't have any male friends she can go to Hawaii for a week with?
I'm saying that she's afraid to do that because her husband may take a... Is your husband a violent man?
I'm sorry, is he a
Is your husband a violent man? Would he harm any male friend of yours?
No.
Well, there's something wrong there. I'm gay. And as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I just think that, you know, I'm hearing some wind whistling through the reeds, as we like to say down south.
All right,
I think
Linda.
You have some issues about being a gay man and a gay journalist.
No, ma'am,
I am a gay
man and a gay journalist. Do you want to spend
obviously.
The rest of
I'm a heterosexual woman and an attorney.
Oh. All right, so what? So what's that got to do with that?
Well,
why you bring
exactly.
that up?
Exactly. What point are you making by saying that?
Because I was straight.
You have no idea what a woman needs.
All right,
man.
Linda, thank you very much for your call. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Doug, when you were married...
Yeah.
Your wife had all the male friends she wanted to have.
I'm trying to say, Phil, based upon the Soprano show last night that we were talking about, right?
Yes.
Michael got upset when Adriana was, found out that Adriana had been with Tony because they got in a car crash and found out about that.
Yes, and he assumed because there was a lot of nasty rumors that she had sex with him.
Right, and she never did she?
No.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Why can't a woman go out with a guy? She's not a married woman go out with some other guy while her husband is working or whatever. Men are afraid to let their wives do that because they don't know how to take care of them. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. All right? My wife would, I'll tell you what right now, my wife wanted one of those spa tubs. I got it for her. My wife wanted a new pair of shoes that you could only buy in Paris. I got them for her. Okay, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. So that's why I know what I'm talking about.
All right, so, all right, 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger, who was straight and married, said he never worried about his wife being with other men because he knew how to take care of her. It didn't have anything to do with sex. He just, you know, got her everything that she wanted. 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger, entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, will be back with me on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On the line with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, entertainment writer. But we're talking about a dynamic in relationships that we saw last night on The Sopranos, where Christopher Moltisanti's girlfriend Adriana was in an automobile with Tony Soprano, and Christopher got upset. His fiance was with another guy. Doug Danger's with us, saying that if you are, you know, if you're a confident man and you give your woman what she wants, then you don't have to worry about her being with other men. You said, Doug, you are gay now, but you used to be straight, is the way you put it.
That's correct.
And you had a marriage. What happened to the marriage?
Well, I finally realized that I was gay, and I asked at that time I asked Jeannie to leave.
So she didn't leave you; you left her.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, she was very attached to me. I love her still. And she still calls me and tries to get back together again. I said, I'm gay. I'm a gay. I always tell her I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. That is what I am now. And I'm not straight no more. And she, I'll tell you what, when I finally asked her to leave, it was very sad. I had to call the police to get her out of the house. I mean, she was very much attached to me. And because of the, and why? Why was that, Phil? Because I allowed my wife to be anything she wanted to be. I didn't force her into the stereotypical role so many men force their women into, the role of mother, sex partner, doting wife. When we divorced, my wife thanked me for everything I did for her. She cried. And I guess what I'm saying is I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and as a gay man and a gay journalist, I know perceptively what it is that men are doing wrong. Just give your wife what she needs, and you won't have to worry about her having male friends.
Well, I told you that for my wife, if Maria said, oh, hey, honey, I want to go and with a male friend of mine to a spa in Palm Springs for 3 days, do you mind? I'd have an issue with it.
All right, there's mistake number one. You should be totally fine with it. Say to her, have fun. Just say to her, have fun.
And trust that she's not going to have sex with a guy.
Well, what are you giving her? What are you doing for her?
I don't understand. So in other words, if I get her enough stuff...
Well, I mean, what are you doing for her?
We got a nice home and we have, you know, she doesn't have to work.
That's a start. But if I were you, I would definitely concentrate more on the things that women want. You ever hear that song, Diamonds Are Forever? La-da-doo-da-da-da-da. You know that song?
Yeah, diamonds are a girl's best friend.
That's it. Diamonds, cars, shoes. Let her have her own job. Give her seed money to start one of these. You know these women, they like to start these little shops, knick-knack shops, these places that go belly up in 6 months, but they think, you know, Susie's Closet or some crap like that. Shopping sprees, they love that. I allowed Jeannie to have her male friends sleep over. I never once believed Jeannie would stray. And when I finally told her to get out, because I was a gay man and a gay journalist, she was devastated. And that was the day when I realized, as a gay man and a gay journalist, I understood women.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger with us. Here's Brian. Brian, go ahead.
I think you're generalizing women too much, man. I mean, not all women are the same. Not all of them need material things. Some just be communication.
What's your experience with women?
I'm on my second marriage, and I've been engaged about four or five times.
So that's four, five, that's seven women total.
I've been in relationships. I think
I got you beat.
Well, does that matter? The point is, you generalize.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right?
Well, I'm happy for you.
Well,
I'm happy for you.
Well, what's that supposed to be? Are you homophobic? I'm just happy for you. All right, thank you. And I, as a journalist, as a gay journalist, I dig into the stories of people. My wife and I...
Did you and your wife ever have sex?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
No.
Even though you were straight?
Even though I was very busy. But it never bothered me.
You never worried that your wife would stray even though you never had sex with her?
Absolutely. Because you just give her what she needs. Give her what she needs when she needs it.
What if she wants to have sex? What if she wants to have sex?
Well, that part, you know, if you want to, go ahead. But I got other things I got to do. I got bigger fish to fry. Sex is not all that important to women. What they want to know is, do they have a roof over their head, a man is going to take care of them, and are they going to have a little bit of spending money? That's what I found out when I was straight. Brian, hello, you there still?
Are
you listening?
Here,
are you taking some notes?
I
want you to take some notes on this. How long have you been married?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. Are you happy?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Do you have sex?
Yeah.
With your wife only?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you've already been divorced, right?
Yeah.
There you go. That's the problem. Anytime Jeannie was feeling amorous, I'd just pull out a new sweater for her, or I'd put on some new shoes, and I didn't have to bother with it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
And that might have worked with my first wife, but
well, there you go.
Now it's emotional.
But since you've only been
it's
with
an
seven,
emotional bonding.
You've only been with seven women, and you're what, 62? I think you need to, a little bit more.
62. You know,
well, that's what you said at the outset of the conversation.
I'm 41.
41? Yeah. Then why'd you say 62?
Never mind. 1-800-449-8686. How to treat women? Well, you don't have to have sex with them. Just give them what they want. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm on the line here with Doug Danger, and if you hear a bar in the background, you're at the Little Shrimp.
Yeah, down at Laguna Beach, Phil. We're watching the NCAA championship game.
Doug is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, and we're discussing last night's Soprano, where Christopher, his girlfriend was with Tony, and Christopher was very upset. Most guys can't handle their girlfriends, their fiancés, or their wives. Even being around other guys, like going out just as male friends, you know, just having a male friend. You say it didn't bother you, Doug, when you were straight, because you're gay.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, yeah.
Okay, but when you were straight, your wife could go anywhere she wanted to.
She could go anywhere she wanted to do it. Let me tell you something. I was a confident man when I was straight, as I'm a confident man now as a gay man and a gay journalist. Jeannie, I'll tell you an interesting story about Jeannie. She'd come into the bedroom when I was sleeping. And she'd want to make love, and I'd tell her to get lost, okay? That did not stop her from...
You told your wife to get lost?
Because I'm, you know, I'm gay. Back when I was straight, though, I didn't have the time. I'm sleeping, I'm working.
You were gay, man. I mean...
Well, that might have been the fact, but I loved her. I loved being married to her, and I was sexually attracted to her. I did not have the inordinate amount of time that other men have. I'm a busy guy. I was on a career fast track. So I'd tell her to get lost, go sleep in another room. Now, did that stop her from loving me? No, it did not. Because she loved the fact that I was in charge and that I was confident. That's what men lack. They lack the confidence that women lack. If a woman approaches you while you're busy doing something and she says, I'd love to make love, I can tell you an interesting story. When Jeannie came home with a friend of hers, they were actually been out shopping. And so they started... I told both of them just to get lost, because I was working on a couple. Actually, I was working on two columns that day.
So your wife's modeling lingerie, you tell her to get lost. That's kind of cruel, isn't it?
No, it's confident. It's confident and strong. That's what men lack. These guys that make love to their wives regularly, you know what that says to me? That says this is a guy that has a little bit of too much time on his hands, and he just does every time she snaps her fingers, there he is. Women don't like that at all. They want a guy that's going to tell them to bug off.
Well, it's been my experience.
Hey, I was married 12 years. How long have you been married?
I've been married 7.
Okay, so I think, you know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I was a straight man married 7 years, so I got it all over you like white on rice.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Ron. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show, Ron. Ron? All right, I'll put him on hold. Let's go to Dave. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been married 14 years. Okay, I know for a fact my wife loves affection. and I give it to her. Are
well,
you saying
that's your first mistake?
Are you saying that you've never made love to your wife? How do you know that your wife never wanted you to?
The other question that I would add to that, David, is how did you know you were straight if you never made love to your wife?
Because I got sexually aroused by her. I was totally turned on by her. I just didn't have a lot of time. And, you know, if you're sitting there working, David, I don't know what you do for a living, but you're working on a project. Your wife comes in
I'm
naked.
That's exactly what I am.
All right, so let's say that you're whatever, you're going over some bills of lading, or you're talking to some, you know, you're subcontracting from a company, whatever you're doing, and she comes in nude. You're going to tell her, get the hell out of here.
No, I ain't going to tell her that.
Why not? You got work to do.
I'm going to throw everything else down.
Well, that shows to her, look at how weak this guy is. He comes every time I snap my fingers.
Weak?
Yeah. That's exactly.
No,
look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
You know, every time you say you're a gay man and a gay journalist, dude, it doesn't give you much credibility because you're gay.
But I was straight.
But it don't matter. You're never straight, is what you're saying.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
You was never straight.
How can you figure that when I got attracted to my wife sexually?
Because you never made love to her.
So?
You make love to men?
Do I make... That's none of your business.
Well, now...
The whole point that I'm trying to say here is that when a guy jumps, every time a woman takes her clothes off and a guy jumps, you know what? That guy, he's got no self-control and she doesn't respect him. A woman respects a man who can tell her when she's standing there in a garter belt and panties to get the hell off of his property.
I trust my wife. I've got gay friends that still marry.
Okay.
Now, why can't you be married and still have gay friends, you know?
You got
They take care of their wives plus their boyfriends.
Boy, you know a lot of gay people, don't you, David? Well, David, how do you take care of your boyfriend?
I don't have a boyfriend.
I'm just joking.
I'm a married man.
Well, you're talking
married for 14 years.
You know gay truck drivers?
Well, I don't know if there is or not. I'm not one.
Well, you just got done saying you got all kinds of gay friends.
I've got gay friends. I didn't say I was gay.
No, but you said you got gay truck driving friends.
I did not say I got gay truck driving friends.
Well, then
I said there is truck drivers out here that are gay. It's exactly what I said.
Are you one of them? Yes or no?
No, he said no, he isn't.
All right. Well, I'm gay.
I'm a heterosexual.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Well, that's good for you.
I was straight.
You already heard that.
You already heard what?
How do you know you was ever straight when you never did have a woman?
Well, what difference does it make? My wife... When I told her to get off my property,
it makes a lot of difference.
I told her to get out. She wrapped her arms around my ankles and begged me to let her stay.
That's your
love.
Now, I don't believe that.
Well, you don't believe it because you don't have the kind of strength that I have, David. Your wife would like you a lot more if you brought home one of your gay trucker friends for dinner.
I doubt that.
All right, David, thank you very much, sir, for your call. What are you trying to say here anyway? Are you honestly saying to me that when you tell your wife, who is in an amorous mood, to get the, and I'm quoting now, get the hell off your property, what does that mean? Get out of the house? Get off the front lawn?
It's a figure of speech.
Okay. Are you telling me she gets even more interested?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. And I'm saying it as a gay man and a gay journalist.
Okay, let me get this straight. Your wife's in the mood to make love. I always heard the opposite. In fact, I've found it to be true the opposite. If you make love to a woman, she is much happier, and you can get away with more.
No. You got it all bass-ackwards, my man. You make love to a woman, and she's going to think she can run you ragged. Next thing you know, she's going to want you to do everything with her, go everywhere with her, be everything to her. The goal of marriage is to be able to have time for your work. So when she is in the mood for sex, you tell her how... dare you come in here dressed like that. Now get out of here. She'll bury her face in her hands, start to cry, feel humiliated, and feel totally in love with you.
Okay, I mean...
Okay. You know, Phil, your sarcasm. Jeannie would walk in a negligee, bringing in these chocolate strawberries, and I'd slap those berries out of her hand, and I told her to go take a swim and cool off.
Wow. 1-800-449...
Wow. You know, your sarcasm...
Your sarcasm, man! Here is William. William, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Let me say it for you, Doug. A gay man and a gay journalist.
Well, that's what I am.
Okay, I'm not calling to be argumentative or anything with anyone. I just want to state this.
That's good, William. I don't like to argue with people.
That I've been married for 13 years, and what has got me by is the small things. Listening. noticing. If my wife comes in with her hair in a different style, if her nails are done,
there you go.
If she wants to talk about her day, if she wants to make love, fine. We have the same days off, and if that's too much time on my hands, fine. But the shopping sprees and this and that and the other, those are all superficial things. You can do without it. Give your woman the little things that she needs, and you will get the big things in return. And I'm going to say goodnight.
Well, William, I think that that's dead wrong, and, good luck. Your marriage is on its way out. I feel bad for that guy.
Why?
Everything he said's wrong.
He said, do the little things. Notice her hair. Notice her nails. I found that to be true.
Here we go again with you and your big 7 years of marriage. I was married 12 years when I was straight. Now I'm gay.
Yeah, I don't get that at all, man. What do you mean, when you were straight?
When I was straight.
Then you decided to be gay, huh?
No, I was born gay.
Well, then how could you be straight when you were married if you were born freaking gay?
Because I... You know what? You're a homophobe. Good night.
What a jackball! I'm a homophobe. Back when I was straight... Oh, look at this. Hey, Doug, you hang up on Phil Henry, babe, and you got a big, big job trying to get back on the air.
Look, Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I got that already.
Let me tell you something. Our honeymoon night, Jeannie said, Doug, make me a woman. I put a quarter in a vibrating bed. I told her to lie down. I went downstairs to play dice. There you go. And you know what? The next day, she looked at me with those big moo cow eyes and said, oh, Doug, you've gunned my engine.
You went down to play dice, huh?
That's right. $2,000 at the Desert Inn. Read it and weep, baby. I played till 6 o'clock in the morning.
Let me go over to, is Ron there or... Ron? Ron. Okay, this guy's brain dead on 4. Look at Doug, I'm going to,
Who's brain... I'm brain dead?
No, I said the guy on 4 is brain dead.
No, I think you said I'm brain dead because you don't like the fact that when I was straight...
Yeah, you tell your wife to get the hell off your property, and you kick her out of the bedroom and everything else. Dude, you got big problems. Do you make love to men? That's none of your business. But I'm a gay man, and 58 times with this guy. All right, you can reach Doug Danger at the Orange County Courier, and don't forget to read his column, Doug Danger's Way, weekly in the Orange County Courier. And by the way, Doug wants you to remember that he has his movie reviews on Friday. Will he give it a gay thumbs up or a gay thumbs down? Read his movie reviews Friday. What does that mean? All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show, and our website is www.philhenryshow.com. And we thank Doug Danger, who's a real jackball, for joining our show. We have some news just to get to here before the end of this hour. We also want to mention that if you go to our website, please get a backstage pass so you can hear all of this marvelous radio comedy again. It's only $6.95 a month. The Phil Henry Show website has more archived radio comedy than probably any other website on earth, and it's all ours. So if you seriously go on a lot of these radio websites, I don't know why you go to them other than maybe, well, I guess a lot of them have pictures of like new chicks, but they won't let us do that anymore, even though we got a few from our listeners. So we just, and it's our audio and it's some of our comedy, and that's it, man. So if you'd like that, if that's what it's about, then, which we frankly think having a radio website is about that, go to www.philhenryshow.com, get a $6.95 backstage pass, and you have access to 10 years worth of radio archives, 30 days worth of full shows. The last 30 days, full access to those, plus a live streaming of our show each and every day, video archives from the times that we've done our video webcasts. There's also... Is that all that video, like press interviews that I've given and television appearances, that stuff you have to pay for?
Yes, you do, Phil.
Okay, so if you want to see TV appearances that we've had, you also have to check that out. It's for $6.95. So it's www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com. www.philhenryshow.com. All right, now I'm going to go to the news here. Just some stories that I wanted to get to in the last few days, but I wasn't able to do it. But I don't know where this stuff is now. Oh, here it is.
Ah, yes.
Yasser Arafat has been compared to Jesus by the people in Palestine, some of the guys that run the PLO, and the PLA, and the PLIS, and the PIS, or whatever they're called. They think that he's going through exactly what Jesus went through, which I say, cool, if he winds up the same way Jesus did. No, Yasser, you ain't going through what Jesus did, man. Only I wish that you would, though. Without that resurrection part, something tells me it ain't going to happen to you, baby. The Palestinian president watched Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ on Saturday in his office in Ramallah City after his key advisor compared Jesus' pain during the crucifixion to the suffering of Palestinians in the conflict with Israel. Arafat, who watched the film on a small TV set in his Ramallah office, said the movie was historic and impressive. How did he get a copy of this movie to watch on a small TV set? So Arafat's watching a bootleg copy, huh? One of those things that they film in the movie theater? How cheesy can you get, man? Can't you eat? Can you people do anything legal down there? Or is everything that you do, Arafat, a violation of federal and international law? Now the guy's watching bootleg copies of The Passion of the Jesus. Holy jeez. Arafat, who bootlegged a copy off the internet, was watching it on a small TV in his office and realized, hey, that's me. Next thing you know, the guy's going to be, what is he, on the phone going, when do I get Hellboy? Was it, what are you talking about, Hellboy, man? I just got this. I want Hellboy. Arafat, who watched Hellboy, says there's a, it's kind of a resemblance to him in his earlier days. Gibson's film graphically depicts Christ's final hours, yada, yada, yada. You know all the story there. But the Palestinians, you know, I knew it would happen, and by God, it's happening. When that movie came out, I said, you watch. All kinds of people are going to be comparing themselves or somebody they dig to Jesus. Martha Stewart's brothers compared what she's going through to Jesus. Arafat and all of the slobs that he hangs around with are comparing Arafat and the Palestinians to Jesus. Who else is going through? Well, I'd like to think that sometimes my day is kind of like what Jesus had to go through. Next thing you know, Arafat's there in his office. Where's Seabiscuit? I can't get Sea. What's it with you guys, huh? I'm stuck in an office. I'm crapping in a can here. The Israelis won't let me out. You guys promised me Seabiscuit 6 months ago. I did what I could. I got you passionate. Ah, the Passion of Christ. Man, I'm watching it 95 times. You know, it's like porn to me. I love this stuff. I get off on it. Anytime I see a Jew getting whipped. Yeah, that's right. I know he's a Jew. I see. That's the bummer.
Yeah, Commissioner Arafat, we are so sorry that you had to learn the terrible news that Jesus was a Jew.
Well, the hell. Oh, what is it with you guys bringing out Aaron Brockovich again? I've seen it 58 times sitting in here, okay? Get some Hellboy and Seabiscuit. Hellboy and Seabiscuit. Those two words on your lips. Hellboy and Seabiscuit. Now get going. I can't go. The Jews, the tanks, and all of it. I don't give a crap if you have to run through a gauntlet of snipers. Get me Hellboy. What about this one? Lenny Bruce. It's a 1974 Dustin Hoffman movie.
Well, I don't know. We're going to try to get something for you, but until then, what do you think about Dickie Roberts?
I'll take it. That sounds good. Remember, friends, send your donations to the Yasser Arafat Video Library in care of the Phil Hendry Show. We'll send him all the crap he needs. He's looking for all that good stuff, man, and he wants the best of candy samples, too, as long as we're on the subject. If there is such a thing as the best.
Right, it's the only one I can do with John Holmes. That's the only one I look for. Commissioner Arafat, I can't find the John Holmes in a...
Well, get it, okay? I don't care what you have to do, man. I don't care whether all the Palestinians starve. I don't care if we never get freedom. I want the best of the candy samples.
You know something? I'm going to fire you.
Why?
The last guy, Bashir, he didn't have a problem. I wanted white men can't jump. He got it like that. What is it with you, man?
Busted out Aaron Brockovich? God! What's this? Mona Lisa smiles. Come here.
No, please.
You're dead. Sitting here, man, I can't get out of here. All right, this is the Yasser Arafat Show. We'll see you again tomorrow. Phil Hendry sitting in. What's some guy actually say? Yes, I was listening to the Yasser Arafat show last night. I thought it was very tasteless. 1-800-449-8686. And remember, Paul Harvey. Good day.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.